I want to welcome into the studio now Hugh Brennan, who is CEO of Coolin Co-Housing Alliance. Good afternoon, Hugh.
Afternoon, John.
And thanks very much for coming in, giving us your time.
Thank you.
Is congratulations in order. You're starting your second build.
That's right, yeah. So it's just a little bit down the road from the first one. The first one is Ballina Leacra. This one is going to be known as Ilan na Cronóige, which is Cranóg Islands. Yeah. And it's there at the junction of Cranóg Road, Belclare View. People who know that area, there's some shops there, so it's just there. 37 houses, a mix of 2, 3 and 4 bedroom. We actually have two apartments in it, a couple of 2 bedroom houses, mainly 3 bedroom, and the remainder are 4. And as we were saying, unfortunately they're all allocated at this stage because the demand, as you know, is just huge in the area. And and the great thing about this, and similar to the last one, there's, you know, a huge amount of local people who grew up in the area, who want to live in the area, and now they have the opportunity to do that.
And the prices they're paying for these thousands are
great. Yeah, okay. So the first 2 bedroom apartment is 165, 2 bed house 185, 3 bed house 219. And the terrace might be a little bit dearer, and there's a slightly bigger 3 bed house which is a bit dearer, and then the 4 bed 265. So they're good.
They're great prices, hugely competitive. How can you do that, Hugh, and why isn't everybody else doing it?
Okay, well, we can do it because we get support from Dublin City Council, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without the support of Dublin City Council. So Dublin City Council provide the land to us at a heavily discounted rate of €1,000 per plot. Now, we don't want that to become a deterrent either for other local authorities to provide land, because we don't have to get it at €1,000 per plot. We can afford to pay more and still keep them relatively affordable. But in fairness to Dublin City Council, they did provide them at that rate. They also waive the development levies, and development levies in that area would be around €8,000 per house. So that all of that helps.
And development levy, €8,000.
Yeah, but that's not bad now, you know, compared to other areas. And like that's, you know, in general, that kind of covers for, you know, the use of the wider services that the local authority provide in the area, you know, for housing. You're talking about roads and street lighting and sewerage and that. Although I know, you know, sewerage is Irish water now, but they waive those development levies, which is great. And then, because we operate as a not-for-profit organisation and indeed as a charity now, we just apply a 5% surplus, okay? So there is no developer's margin. And that's the mysterious bit always. You know, people ask us, well, what would a developer's margin be on that? And we can never say, because we never know what they've paid for land, and therefore you never know. So, like, for example, there are 3-bedroom houses just down the road from us, and they're selling for 350,000. So I couldn't tell you how much of that is profit. What I can tell you is that it doesn't cost them, in those houses, they're very similar to ours, it doesn't cost them any more to build than it costs us to build, you know. However, they would have paid more for their sites, and they would have had to pay the development levies. So that's really why, you know, we can build more affordably.
So the builders, have you got a set group of builders that you use, or do you employ from the local area?
What we do is we employ a contractor, okay? So the contractor himself is actually based in County Louth, but he then employs people from the local area. So the block layers, for example, for Ballina Leacra, where some of them were literally just across the road, local plasterers, and other local tradespeople. Now, some of the subcontractors that he uses for price reasons are from a little bit further afield, like the kitchen supplier is further away. But that we have to be careful. Like, we want to support local tradespeople as much as we can, but we still have to be cognizant of the prices, you know.
Yeah, because I'm saying that because you're also thinking of building in Cork and Waterford.
We are,
Is that coming along? Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Waterford one was held up slightly because of issues with water in Ardmore. We think that's almost resolved now. So we're actually in the middle of the planning process on for that one. And then Cork, we're working closely with Cork City Council to build on the edge of Knocknaheeny, and it's actually quite similar to the Ballymun site. It's kind of just on the very edge of it, opposite a GAA club. There'll be 17 there, and a huge demand in Cork City as well. Not as great a demand as Dublin, but still a huge demand.
So how do people get involved? Now, as we said, the 37 houses are all allocated.
Yeah.
So say you get another site now, say somewhere in Dublin or Cork or Waterford or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
How do people get involved?
It's very easy. They just come onto our website, so oculan.ie, and there's a sign-up page there, and they sign up, okay? And then as we move from site to site, we go down through the list on a first-come, first-served basis, and we'll take them, say, in chunks of maybe 20 or thereabouts, okay? And then Phil, who's our administrator in the office and our office manager, she will send out emails to people and ask them to contact our assessor, okay? And then the assessor will go down through them and say whether they qualify or not. Now, there are eligibility criteria, and what we actually have found is that we probably went through maybe 400 people on that list to get the 37 that we needed for Ilona Cronoiga. So it's definitely in people's interest to sign up, because we might actually be going down through the lists at a faster pace than people would think, okay? So when we say now that we have 1,700 people on our waiting list, we mean we've 1,700 people that have applied or expressed an interest in having one of our houses, but not all of those will qualify immediately.
Yeah.
So, for example, some of them might not be earning enough to get a mortgage, for example, okay, for one of the houses. Some of them might be earning too much to get a mortgage. If they're earning too much, the likelihood is that their salaries are not going to come down, except if one partner stops working or something, you know. So they probably won't qualify in the future. But the people who are not earning as much as they need, they will stay on the list, and they can earn more. 70% of the people have to be from the local area, have to be from the Dublin Northwest area, and 30% can be outside of that area. So people will be excluded because they're not in the area, you know. But that doesn't mean that they won't be included in a future project.
Yeah.
So they stay on our list. So the thing to do is to sign up on oculan.ie, and then as we go through the various projects. And just to let you know, Dublin City Council announced three schemes recently, two for Ballymun and one for Ballyfermot. So we've applied for all three. We hope to get at least one of them. That's two more for Ballymun, yeah. Because, there are actually about 28 sites left in Ballymun for housing. And we argue that all of those should be for affordable or starter type homes, simply because at the moment in Ballymun we have a large percentage of social housing, and it is good for an area to try to get a mix if you can. And therefore we would argue that if those sites can be used for affordable housing for people who are earning too much to qualify for social housing, and up to 79,000, and that group of people that actually makes up over 40% of the population at the moment. So it's a huge number. And that's why we have so many people on our waiting list, and why there is such a demand. So, I mean, in total, I think on those three sites between Ballyfermot and the two more in Ballymun, there would be somewhere in the region of 400 homes being built, you know. So it's definitely...
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth people's while to sign up. And then we've also... put in a submission for another site in Ballymun. It's known as Site 2. So that was actually advertised through Hook and MacDonald. And you're probably aware that, you know, the councillors decided on, I think it was on Monday night, that no more council land will be sold to private developers for at least the next 5 years. And we absolutely support that. And we're not a private developer. We're, if you like, a social developer or a cooperative developer. And we can build on those sites, and we can build affordably.
Now, as I said, I was talking to some councillors, and I asked them what was coming up on the doorsteps when they were canvassing.
Yeah.
And housing was major, was the top one.
Yeah.
But a couple of them said to me, and I was a bit surprised, that they were amazed at the amount of people who said they didn't want housing built in their areas because there was enough housing there already.
Yeah.
Do you ever come across...
So part of our model, our slogan, if you like, is building communities and not just houses. Yeah. Okay. And all of those sites in Ballymun, they've been earmarked for housing for a long time now, and they're actually part of the Ballymun local area plan. And that plan has been open for viewing for everybody, you know, in the area for a long time. So on the Ilona Cronoiga site, we went down, we held a public meeting. 75% of the people at that meeting supported us and wanted affordable housing in the area. 25% were opposed for different reasons, okay? So, and we accept that anybody who has that kind of opposition, you know, it's usually a legitimate complaint that they have, but it may not be purely because they don't want more housing in the area. There may be other reasons.
Yeah.
So what we did was we asked, could we meet with them? And in fairness to them, they came together and we sat down and we chatted. And what we found out was that it wasn't that they didn't want affordable housing in the area or other housing in the area, because their own children want housing. They had other issues. A lot of them were to do with other problems in the locality, if you like, you know. So we were able to sit down with them. We were able to iron out some of the problems. We were able to say to them, for others, there's nothing really we can do about that, but the local authority or the guards or somebody else can work with you on that. And when we put in our planning submission, not only did we not get any objections, we didn't even get one observation.
Yeah.
So it went straight through. And that is key to it, is actually talking, and not just talking, but listening to the people who are in the community. And when you do that, because so many of the other developers, they'll come in, they won't talk to anybody. They'll put in their planning submission, and people seem to, you know, they don't then really have any option. Their only option, if they have any difficulty, is to put in, you know, an observation or an objection. Whereas if you go and you talk to people in advance and you find out what the issues are, 9 times out of 10, I will say, you're going to be able to iron them out. Now, you may get some objections, but on our first two schemes, we didn't get any. So we're at 100% no objections at the moment, you know.
That's fantastic.
And that is because, you know, people have a right to expect to be listened to. If you live in a local area, I firmly believe that, you know. I mean, and it comes down to respect. You have to respect people's opinions. Some people may have objections, and it still may go through, and that's just part of the process. But we'll always do all that we can to engage with people and to listen to their complaints before we put in the submission.
Yeah, and I've had residents' associations in with me, and who were not objecting, but they were arguing about certain bills, particularly the one up here in the Joscoe Trainer Road.
Yeah,
and they were saying that they said they can't get to sit down.
Yeah.
With anybody, because nobody wants to listen. And if you do have a meeting, the county councillors will turn up at the meetings, but then the councillors can be overruled by the county manager.
Yeah,
they're very, very frustrated. So,
it just makes so much sense. Like, while you're building in the area, you are a neighbour to people in this community. Yeah. You know, and like, we have difficulties. Like, I mean, for example, if it's lashing rain and there's trucks leaving the site, there can be mud on the roads. You know.
Yeah.
Now, we'll clean the roads down afterwards. You know, but at least when you have somebody there that you can talk to and you can explain what's going on, and if their cars get dirty, we'll say we'll clean their cars for them, that type of thing. Like, you know, but it's just all about interaction with the people in the local community and not trying to ride roughshod over them, as they say, you know.
It's common sense, really.
I think it's common sense, yeah. But that's not the mentality, for some reason, of others in the development industry, you know. So,
So, you have three more sites you're going to chase. Did you say two in Ballymun?
Yeah, well, so we're actively pursuing three in the Ballymun area and one in Ballyfermot. We are talking to other groups all around the city. We're talking to a group in South Dublin who have identified a site there that they would like support on. We've been contacted by a number of groups out in Dunleary, you know, and the local authority in Dunleary actually have some land. I don't know if you're aware, but there was an article in the paper last Saturday, and it basically said that the council were going to lease 90 units off a private developer. You saw this, yeah. And they've offered €2,000 for a per month for a one bedroom apartment, €2,500 per month for a two bedroom apartment, and €3,000 per month for a three bedroom apartment over 25 years.
Wait, did you get to quote anything on this?
No, we didn't, because we don't own that site, and we're not building in the area at the moment. But there is that other site. It's in a place called Mullen Still Road, lovely part of Dunleary. It could take easily up to 450 units. We would set aside 90 social units there for the local authority. We would be more than happy to lease them to them, but we won't be charging them 2,000 for a one bedroom. We may charge them 1,000 a month for a one bedroom, and 1,200 a month for a two bedroom, and maybe 1,500 a month for a three bedroom unit. And at the end of the 25 years, we'll sell them to the local authority for a euro. So they'd actually end up owning them, okay?
Do they know this?
Well, I suspect they do, but I mean, so, the only thing that we really can do now is, you know, we have to get more active. I was almost going to say militant, but I'm not going to say militant. We have to get more active on the ground and to try to get our message out there. And I know you and I discussed this before, because I think the first time I came into you, Emmanuel Macron was doing, you know, making great strides in France. I'm not sure it worked out the way he thought it would, but anyway. But, you know, I swear, John, at some stage we will get political, and we'll have to get political. And we've got support from all around the country. You wouldn't believe it. The videos that the Irish Times have up on their website of articles that Olivia Kelly did, they've had over 500,000 views. You know, I say, in the Dublin area alone, we've 1,700 people on our waiting list. We know that as soon as we start in other areas, that we're going to be inundated. And I think that there would be political support for people out there to fight for the for affordable housing, to fight for justice in housing, because that's what it's about. It's about social justice, and we're not naive. We don't believe in a just society, you know, because we're never going to see that, and my kids will never see it. But what we can get, and what we can all achieve, is a more just society, and that's what we're prepared to fight for. And housing is a justice issue. There's no doubt about it. And if we can get more support for as I say, fully integrated, cooperative, affordable housing, it will have a knock-on effect on the whole homelessness situation.
And it'll be there for our children, our grandchildren.
And it'll be there for the children and grandchildren. And people won't be put to the pin of their collar, you know, to be paying unaffordable rents. Like, our definition of affordability is that nobody will pay more than one third of their net income on their housing needs. And when you're paying more than that, you're under financial stress and pressure in your homes. And the biggest cause of marriage breakdown and family disputes in the Western world are financial issues. And we are burdening people with these financial issues because we're depending on the private development sector to solve our social and affordable housing needs, and they'll never be able to do that because it's not in their interests. I think they're great. I'd love to see loads of people buying houses if they can afford them. But depend on the approved housing body sector. Depend on ourselves, cooperative developers, social developers, people who will actually deliver for social housing and affordable housing. It's a big approved housing body sector in Ireland. Sorry, you could rant on forever, John.
No, I can see you're very passionate about the whole thing. It's great to see. And I was going to say, I talked to a lot of people about housing, and they're giving out about housing. But you're not just giving out. You're proving that it can be done.
Yeah.
And for the life of me, I cannot understand why.
No, but you can see me. I'm an old fella, right? So I don't have that long left, and I want to be able to make some kind of an impact. And it's the same with everybody else in our team. You know, we've a great team, and we're not going to just sit around, and we're not going to wait either until we have a perfect model. We're going to do what we can, and we're going to improve it in increments as we go along.
Okay, Hugh, so there's people out there listening, and they're after hearing Ballymun and Ballyferm, and they're all saying, right, I want to get involved here. So they go onto the website and they sign up.
They sign up. They'll see the sign up button is there and they just sign up on the website, and they'll be on the list. And then as these schemes come up, Phil will make contact with them from our office. As I say, Phil is our office manager, and she'll make contact.
I was on the site and I printed off a few pages here.
Yeah.
And the houses are lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely houses.
Yes. And so they're already award winning, which is great. You know, so we got an award from the Local Authorities Members Association for the best public housing initiative, yeah. I think it was called, or something like that. So we were delighted with that. Yeah. And we want them to be distinctive. Okay. They have to be top quality. So what we say is, we need quality design, we need quality build, but it has to be at an affordable price. And it's not only affordable to buy, it has to be affordable to run. So they're A2 rated as well. And the materials that we use in them are not difficult to maintain. You know, so we use a pre-finished render. We have pre-finished floors upstairs. Things that make it easy for people to maintain their houses. So they're not having to spend a lot on maintenance or on energy. And we're actually also doing a post-occupancy research program with Trinity and a group called IES to try to ensure that people who are living in A2 rated houses are getting the benefit from living in A2 rated houses. Because very often our own behaviour in how we manage our houses mean that we're spending more on our energy than we have to. So we have the support of the people who just moved in and of the people who are moving into Cranogue, and we're going to do this study over 2 years, and we'll happy to produce the results at the end of the 2 year period.
Yes.
And that'll help people to ensure that they are getting the best benefit from living in an A2 rated house.
Listen, Hugh, we're running out of time, of course.
No worries.
We could go on for another hour, I'd say.
We could.
But great admiration for what you're doing, and you've made what, 37 families very happy.
49 in the first scheme, and 37 in the second.
And you're going to go on doing it.
And we're going to keep going on doing it. And I want to thank you, John, and Near FM, because this is our third visit here, I think, to you.
It's great
to know that kind of support is out there, and especially from community, you know, stations like yourselves, and you know, because that's what we're about. We're about cooperation.
Yeah. Okay, Hugh, listen, thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll be talking again. Every time you build a house, we'll
give you a shout, yeah.
Okay.